Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. Well, good morning, friends and family. And I know some of you came in after we got started, so welcome. We're glad everybody's here, and I'm glad you're with us today. After service, we're going to go right down and get into some good food and some fellowship and all that good stuff. And I know we have, you know, the guests definitely go first today when we go down the stairs. We got some, I know, have wrestling tournaments coming up, so they need to vamboosh a little bit early to go to for wrestling tournaments. But we want to honor all that. But we want to meet you where you're at and fellowship with you today. And we're just glad you're here. We're excited you're here. And I hope you feel the love, right, as we would say. And that's what this is all about. And that's just the message series we're in this week. And so we want to welcome you with open arms. What is falling down there? Hey. And celebrate this final week of Advent. And we're in our last session of this. And we're in a message series titled The Arrival, Embracing the Hope of Christ. And Advent calls us to reflect on Jesus' first coming, amen, but also prepare our hearts for his return, something that sometimes we can overlook because it's been a long time, 2,000 plus years, and nobody knows the day or the hour that Jesus will return. But until that time, we're called to live a Jesus-centered life and to live as Christ. And so in the first week, we explored hope, which is totally anchored in God's promises. And there's thousands of promises in the Bible, friends, thousands of promises. And we talked about that. And then we focused on peace, you know, that calming peace, despite what's going on in the world system. And there's always something going on in the world system. Despite all that if we're truly connected spiritually, that we can experience this peace in Christ. And last week we celebrated joy, that deep delight that we find in Christ. And it's not happiness. Happiness is definitely predicated on circumstances, good things, bad things happen. But joy, just regardless of what's going on, I still have this sense of joy in my life, this sense of gratitude that I'm living a spirit-centered life, that I'm following a Jesus-looking God, living a Jesus-centered life, trying to live by humility, self-sacrifice, other-centeredness, and just trying to love everybody, including the people I don't care about or that I don't really get along with, trying to live that model. And it's an amazing way to live when you really go out and try to practice that one day at a time. And love serves as a foundation for everything we experience through Christ. So Jesus' love motivates us to love one another and compels us to meet the needs of others around us, to do community, to actually live this stuff out. You know, this idea of living a Jesus-centered life, I think philosophically most people get it. You know, love your neighbors yourself, love God with all your heart, but to actually go out and practice it is a different thing. I spent a lot of time in the prisons. I spent a lot of time in treatment centers. When I'm in a treatment center setting, I ask them this question all the time. What are your two biggest fears? Their two biggest fears are always the same. Number one, relapse. And number two, that I'm not going to be able to experience this connection that I made with these people. And they'll never describe it as love. They'll never describe that exchange as love. They'll just say that I made this connection, this intimacy I have, just whatever. But it's love. And for a lot of people, it's to be genuine, to just walk in and be accepted, just who I am, good, bad, doesn't matter what's going on in my life, that just to be on an equal plane, this equality is what Jesus calls us to. And sometimes in those spaces, that's where we really experience it for the first time in those type of spaces. So that's what they're describing. It's like, how am I going to create that when I leave? How am I going to experience that when I leave? And it's a fair question. And some of you may be sitting here with that. It's like, you know, we got families going on. We got all these things going on. How do we do a community with people that are really trying to live a Jesus-centered life? And so that invitation is definitely here with this family. And we invite you to that big time. And we just hope you live into it. So this morning we're going to explore Christ's love. And it invites us into community, provide for our deepest needs. And it calls us to reflect his love in the world. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning, and you'll see that here on the screen, it is John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of that commandment and scripture. So it's not just a good idea. It's not just a suggestion. It's a commandment to go out and do this. But if you don't, have a transformed life, all you're worried about is yourself. It's really hard to go out and exercise love if you haven't really experienced it in your heart. And so that's what this invitation is. And so the evidence won't be that you wear a cool cross necklace and listen to Joy FM. The evidence that you're one of my people is how you live your life. There's fruit in your life on how you're living it. So Jesus doesn't ask us to love. He commands it. And today we're going to uncover three ways to do that. And how his love in our life transforms our life. Definitely how it transformed mine. Number one, he builds community, he meets our needs, and he sends us to love others. And that's the three things we're going to hit on today. So the first one is love builds community. Welcome and accepted. Amen? And that's what love really does. And just like I gave that illustration inside that treatment center, to really be accepted, just who I am, warts, pimples, all of it. Fatally flawed to the extreme, all of us. There's no blue ribbons hanging on my wall. I don't know about you. But just to really walk in and have that experience, to really feel God's grace and to really feel that connection, I think is so powerful in our life. And if you think about just sitting around the dinner table, we're going to sit around here in a little bit and break bread together. We're going to have Pasta House. So hopefully you like Pasta House and a whole lot of other stuff. But we're going to break bread here in a little bit. Welcome. Come on in. We're going to break bread. And just that community. Just that spark of just sharing with each other, being engaged with each other, is so powerful. And that community, it's what draws us closer, I think. And Jesus invites us to his table. That's the beautiful thing, his altar, his community, his table. Jesus invites us, ensuring that no one leaves here feeling of love, wherever you're at on your journey. And the same love that brought us together today through the ministry reflects in the hearts of inclusion and belonging. And so that's really what I hope that you feel more than anything, that wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, we're just glad you're here. We just want to meet you where you're at and help you take the next steps on your spiritual journey. So that, I think, is really powerful. And insight into that, we can go right to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. A temple for the Lord. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Amen? That oneness, unfortunately, is something that's definitely lost in the world, even inside the church. There's 37 million churches in the world, friends. And there's 45,000 different denominations of Christianity, believe it or not, around the world. 45,000. So this idea of oneness, that we're one, is definitely a lost science. But we're called to live this way. And I hope you experience that here. That's really what we're about. We're about oneness, just trying to come together, imperfect as we are, to follow a Jesus-looking God and live a Jesus-centered life. And that's what we're called to do. And right there is just evidence for that all through Scripture. So our application is celebrate the community Christ has built. Jesus built a community, gave us a framework for how to come together, how to love each other, and how to go carry it out into the world. And that is his number one commandment. He was asked by an attorney, if you would, a scholar of the day, what are the most important commandments? To love God with all your heart and to love each other. But before it was all said and done, he narrowed it down to one commandment. And that was simply just love each other. That's what you're called to do, just love each other. And none of us do that perfectly, but that is the calling in our life. The next point is love meets our needs. And God's provision through Jesus does just that. Through this ministry, we reflect his heart for provision by meeting practical needs in any way we can. Some of you here are part of that extension, whether it's food, whether it's presents, whether it's help with utilities, whatever. It's part of the process of just helping each other. We bring everybody together and make sure that nobody's without. Everybody needs something to eat. Everybody needs something to drink. Everybody needs a warm place to live. Everybody needs a nice bed to lay in. Everybody needs connection. Everybody needs accepted. Everybody needs love. And that just sounds great, and I think philosophically we can buy into that, but practicality, just living it out, is a real stretch for some people to actually go live that out. So that's what we're called to do. So I hope that you're doing that. I hope that you really take that seriously. We do here, and it's just like this guy. And some of you may have had this experience where you run out of gas, and love doesn't just stop to offer comfort, but it fills our tank and makes sure that we keep going, right? It's easy to pass this person by. Well, he's probably got AAA. He's probably got road service on the insurance. Somebody will probably surely stop and you just keep on going because you got things to do. You're busy. But love causes to pump the brakes, to stop and say, hey, how can we help you? Not just help you, but really get you going again. That's what love does. It extends. I don't need anything in return. I just want to make sure you get to going wherever it is you need to go. And I think that's important. This is really what Christmas is all about, but it's what following Jesus is all about. Christ's love works the same way. He doesn't just see our struggles. He provides our needs. We all got struggles. We all got needs. We're all in different seasons of life. Some here have financial hardships. Some have physical challenges going on in your life. Some have challenges with their kids. Some have challenges with their careers. Some of them have challenges. We're all over the place here. And we're either in a conflict, coming out of a conflict, or getting ready to go into another one all the time. Amen? I mean, is that really how it works? I mean, it's how it's worked in my life. It's just how it works. But we need community to go on that journey together. And this is what it's all about. Philippians 4:19 says, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs for his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And again, it isn't our wants, but it's our needs, the things that we need. And I just mentioned some of those things that everybody needs. And not because we deserve it, because we need it. When we help people, we help them not because they deserve it, but because they need it. Amen? And that's what we're called to live that way. So our walk away with that is, let's today generosity remind us that God sees and cares for your needs, big time. So as you receive blessings today and you give out blessings today, see it for what it is. And here's the cool part. We have visitors here today. We have people that have been here for 50 years. But the reality is, when we come together, God doesn't bring people together to only bless one of them. Everybody's blessed by being together. You make new friends, hopefully lifelong friends. And you get energized by that. And so as you receive today's blessings, I hope you remember that. And lastly, love sends us to love others, reflecting Christ's love. You can't do that unless your life's been transformed. Practically, I mean, philosophically, it sounds like a great idea. To go live it, you have to have a transformed life on a regular, consistent basis. I mean, when you wake up in the morning and that's what you're praying for. You're praying for that. God, use me. That's probably one of the biggest prayers there is. Two words, use me. Use me. But to really go out and be used, you have to have a transformed life. Kind of like the Grinch who stole Christmas, right? You know, your heart needs to grow 10 sizes in one day. But how does that happen? I mean, it's a great question. How does that happen? I mean, I like the idea. Sounds like you're ready. How does that happen? And I guarantee if you commit to a Jesus-centered community and you try to practice these spiritual principles, the principles that Jesus gives us in your life, slowly but surely you'll transform. And you won't look back yesterday and see it, but you'll look back a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years ago, and you'll see how your life has changed dramatically. And that's what we're called to do, is to go out and live that out. And what a beautiful time that is when you get to do that, and you get to see how that blesses others. But the big blessing is when you get to see that family pay it forward to the next family or to the next person, and it just keeps on going, right? And that's kind of how it is. It's like this vision here. One candle lights the next candle, lights the next candle. Just like we will do on Christmas Eve here. This place will be full to the brim on Christmas Eve. But we'll have a candlelight service to bring it all home. Right? And it's one person's going to light a candle and they're going to light the next candle. But that's how we illuminate Christ in the world. Is by coming together and not being divided by all the world system stuff. Because that polarization doesn't belong in oneness when you're trying to live a Jesus-centered life. It just doesn't. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't even care what you're going to do tomorrow. What I care is where you're at right now and how can we walk shoulder to shoulder with you and help make a difference in your life. And then you go pay it forward, because that's where the magic's at. The magic is in paying it forward. And that's what we're called to do. 1 John chapter 4:19. We love each other because he first loved us. It's God's grace in our life that allows us to even love like Jesus. Period. It isn't because I just wake up and I'm a great person. No, most of us have to burn our life to the ground and really suffer pretty hard before we're willing to turn our will and lives over to God and follow a different way of life, to live a Jesus-centered life. Most of us have to suffer somehow, some way. So you just get tired of living on self-propulsion. You get tired of living for yourself. Is this all there is? It's kind of like the Scrooge story, the Christmas Carol. But from a materialistic world, Scrooge had everything. But he was empty inside. He was bankrupt inside. But he had to have three ghosts come into his life, as his story is told, before he finally woke up to what the truth was. I mean, he had to suffer before he finally saw it. But once he got it and it filled his heart, it changed his life, changed his soul. And that's what we're called to do, is that very same thing. So how do we do that? As you experience Christ's love today, consider how you can share it with those around you. So, I mean, that's the question we can all do. Who, right now, in my life, all of us should be asking this question. Who can I bless and how? May not have a lot of money, but I can make a phone call. I can go show up at somebody's house and break bread with them. You'd be amazed what that does for somebody's life when you just show up and be a part of their life. And everybody here has got somebody you haven't talked to in a while. Everybody here has somebody you haven't committed to in a while. And that's, I really invite you to think about how can you spread the love this season. So as we head out today, as we get ready to go downstairs and do community and break bread together, there's three takeaways. Number one is love builds community. And Christ's love welcomes us into his family where we belong. People don't know how much you care. They don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And that's really a true statement. And truly, that's how you grow your kingdom, is by just expressing love. Number two, love meets our needs. And Jesus loves, provides for us both spiritually and practically if we give our lives to living a Jesus-centered life. And lastly, love sends us to love others. And Christ's love calls us to reflect in his light in the world. We are example, good, bad, or ugly, of that light. If we claim to follow Jesus, if we claim Jesus as God, as our higher power, then we have an obligation to live into that, to deliver an adequate demonstration of what it means to live that out in our life. So Advent reminds us that Christ's love is the reason for the season, right? That is the Christ in Christmas. His love brought us together. His love provides for our needs, and it sends us out, out into the world, out into the community to share it with others. So whatever your challenges you're facing, I hope you know deep down Jesus loves you deeply and personally. And his love definitely transformed lives. You're looking at one of them right here. He builds communities and he meets needs. And I hope that you allow Jesus to fill your heart with that and overflow, just pour out of you into the relationships that you have in your life. And we all have those. And we hope to have one with you. So with that, let's pray. Let's just center ourselves and around that love language. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of love through your Son, Jesus Christ. Today we lit the candle of love in our Advent wreath. We celebrate the community you have created. Your needs have been met, and you call to give us a reflection to love others. So we ask you to bless everyone here today, and may they feel your presence, experience your provision, and share your love in their homes and their communities. Fill us with the light of Christ's love, that it might shine brightly in the seasons and always. It's in your Son's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I'm going to invite our band back up. I'm going to go ahead, as the band's coming up, I'm going to pray for our meal and our time together. So as soon as we're done today, just invite you to go down the stairs inside. And our visitors, definitely be first in line. Everything should be about ready to go when we get down there. If not, it'll be ready shortly. And so just hang loose, but we're going to let our visitors go first. And again, if you're on, I know we have a wrestler here that has a match that they have to drive to. We definitely want to accommodate them. But let's go down. We can at least grab our spots and set ourselves up. There's tape. So he'll be back here in a minute. So, but with that, I want to pray for our time together today. Heavenly Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for the community that's here today, our friends. And we thank you for their families. We thank you for the commitment of a lot of people that went above and beyond today to make today possible. And we thank you for their generosity and their service. We thank you for our musicians. We lift up all those who are out, because we know there's many that are out with flu or RSV today that couldn't be here. And so we pray for their families, and we pray for healing and your love to be with them. We pray that you can penetrate our hearts. All of us suffer from selfishness at some level. Some of us are really blocked off. Others are just got a little bit in the way, but we're all over the place. And Lord, we just pray that your love can penetrate that, to let us feel your presence in our life, and know that you're calling us to something bigger than just world system stuff. You're calling us to follow you, to live out a Jesus-centered life, to practice these principles in every one of our affairs. And none of us do that perfect, but together we can do it better. And so we come together for that main reason, is to worship you, but also to grow in our faith, to grow in our disciplines, to grow as a human being, to grow as a Jesus-centered follower. Lord, that's what you call us to do. And so we hope that your love penetrates us enough that we can do that, that we all walk out of here, we drive out of here today better than we came in. And that's what we're praying for. That's what we're giving to you. And we ask it, and we ask it bold in your son's name. And all God's kids said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life and discovering the kingdom of God.